Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, and today we want to talk about customer service. John, you often mention that high-ticket dropshipping is a customer service and sales business, or marketing and customer service, right? What do you mean by that? How do we talk about customer service in a light of running an e-commerce store?
Yeah, cool. So what we mean about that is, I think, like I say that in a way to help people frame what they're really doing when they're operating a dropshipping business. Like a lot of people automatically think dropshipping, it's an e-commerce business, I'm selling products, and that's what I'm doing. And when you're dropshipping, I mean, I would argue when you're doing e-commerce, it's not just that anyway, but when you're dropshipping, it's not your product. You're not responsible for the product, you're not in product development or anything like that, at least not in the beginning. You might go there over time, but you're not there in the beginning. So what are the two things that you really want to nail to build a strong high-ticket dropshipping business? Well, it's two things. You got to get good at marketing, like real good, the right marketing, not just any old marketing, the right marketing, or at least be able to pay somebody who is really good. And you've got to serve your customer. It's a customer service, right? Those are the two things in your business that you have ultimate control over, right? You don't have control of the whole fulfillment process. You don't have control of the product, but you do have 100% control over those two things. Like, you have choices there. You can do whatever you want. And based on how you approach those two things is going to have, assuming you've got the right products and you picked the right niche and all of that sort of thing, once you tick those boxes off, then it's marketing, it's customer service. And those two things definitely also interact with each other as well, right? We get questions from people about how do I do great customer service? And I thought, I think to you and me, it probably seems like it's one of those things that we don't even think about sometimes, right? Because it can't, like, once you get into it, it kind of becomes second nature. And I think some people probably lean more towards it than others, right? Definitely something that you need to focus on. And so I think for me, it kind of starts, I mean, there's a few obvious steps that we'll go through, but it kind of starts for me with making the effort to understand your ideal customer. You know, so at the beginning, you're going to pick a niche, right? Who does your niche serve? Now, if you followed our way of working out what your niche is going to be, you should have identified that person at that point. But you should go a bit deeper than that. Like, get to know, even before you speak to those people on the phone or via email or whatever it is, start to get to know them. Go out, build a little picture. So we talk about it like building a customer avatar type exercise. And you often talk about that with relation to SEO and the customer journey a lot. I think, it's literally write down on a sheet of paper, like, who's your customer? Like, give them a name if you want. Like, you're great with the names. I'm not so good with the names. Give them a name. Like, what are their pain points? What is their before state? What is the state they're looking to be in, their after state? Where do they hang out online? What sort of questions are they likely to have? Like, you can build like a profile of that person. And then for you, if you're in a market that you understand, like you're already in, this is going to be real easy because you might be your customer. If you're not, which some people are in, they're going to sell products to people that they're not that customer. You have to work a little bit harder at this, right? You're going to have to go out, it's not even that hard. Just go out and find where those people hang out online. Like, what are the blogs they read? What are the YouTube channels they're likely to watch that serve, that particular interest area? Like, are there Facebook groups they hang out in? Particularly places where you can find those people interacting with each other. So forums, Facebook groups, these sorts of things. Just go join those and just observe them, even for like 5 to 10 minutes a day. Go in there and see, like, what are these people talking about? What concerns do they have that relate to the products you're going to sell? What are they using them to do? And like, how do they talk about it? Like, what do they have specific language they use? And all of that sort of thing. And I think you can, you know, just 5, 10, 15 minutes a day, you can really put yourself a long way ahead of understanding the people that you're going to serve.
So I love that, you know, we want to understand the who. I don't think any other course is teaching you to talk to the person you're serving. They're just, you know, telling you to find a product. God forbid, you know, the next hot product if you're doing low ticket dropshipping. But how does understanding who you're serving help you with today's topic, customer service?
Well, I think it gives you an understanding, because if you know, like, I mean, often we make the mistake of thinking that people are coming to us just to buy a product, right? And that's all we're doing. We're just providing them a product in return for money, right? But people aren't coming to you to buy a product. They're actually coming to you because they're buying the outcome that that product helps them achieve, or if you like, the problem that it helps them solve. And I think when you take the time to understand that, when you then talk to people on the phone and you understand where they're actually looking to go, you know, and we're skipping past maybe a few steps here of the actual physical act of doing the service, but when you're actually talking to people, if you understand their pain points and where they're looking to go, it enables you to, I think, makes it much easier to talk to them and like build a relationship. And we talked about on another episode, we were talking about our live event highlights and what Brian talked about with the importance of building relationships. Well, you know, if you can connect with your customers and start building a relationship with them, say when they call you on the phone or whatever it might be, whether you're online chatting with them even, the chance that you're going to be the one who gets the sale in that, if it's pre-purchase, is much higher than somebody if they talk to somebody and it's just a really bland conversation and that person's not really interested in where they're looking to go. They're just like, how can I get money out of you as quickly as possible? You know what I mean?
Well, you kind of touched on what I would say is my first point for customer service, which is just answer your phone. I think you'd be shocked how many sales have come in where they say, wow, you're the first person to answer your phone. I guess I'll place the order with you today, right? And so I'm all about answering or understanding your customer. Perhaps we should do an episode on like the whole avatar thing and wrapping our heads around that. But if you don't answer your phone in the first place, it's hard to even use that information. I think that truly is something that a lot of people are getting wrong. They're just not picking up their phone when it rings. And I'll be honest, I was scared in the beginning. When I owned the 3D printer guy, I was like, I answered a few. They asked questions I didn't know, and it was very hard to deflect while I Googled it, right? So I paid a guy on Fiverr to say, thanks for calling the 3DPrinterGuy.com. All of our reps are currently busy helping other customers.
Yeah.
Please leave your name and phone number, and one of our reps will call you back ASAP or something like that, right? And they would leave their message. I'd go Google, you know, what are they even talking about here with the plastics and things that they wanted to use in their 3D printer, and then I'd call them back with the information. But if you can answer your phone when it rings, it makes a big, big difference.
Yeah, and don't it's super easy, I think, to get hung up on the what if somebody asks a question I can't answer, so I'm not going to answer the phone in the first place sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And that's going to happen. Like you're going to get people, you know, more so with some products than others, right? Some products are more, you know, involved or technical in nature than others. Some are very simple, right? If you're selling a chair, you know, not that you should sell chairs, but if you're selling a chair, you're going to get less of that than if you're selling a 3D printer, right? But it's normal for you. Like, I don't think that everybody expects you're always going to have the answer immediately. They just want you to help them. So if you have to go away, put them on hold for 5 minutes or call them back in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or something like that. I mean, this happens to me now with products I'm selling. Like, that's cool. That's okay. Like you're still doing what they expect you to do. You know, as long as you get back to them in a timely manner, I think it's totally fine. And I think as well, people get into drop shipping with the expectation. Still, I mean, I still get this a little bit that it's a business model you can do without interacting with people, and you can kind of hide from people or something like that. And you know, once again, saying answer the phone seems to me like such an obvious thing to do. And I can tell you, if you speak to people on the phone, you're going to make heaps more sales than if you don't. Like selling to somebody when you're communicating with them, like via voice, is way easier. Like, you know, somebody's on the phone, you can just literally, if they're into it, you just say, well, I can take your order over the phone. You know, you can ask some questions about that. So, yeah, get in there and don't treat it like every conversation like a transactional one, I think. So like when a customer calls me if I answer the phone. And I've been doing that a bit lately because I've got a new business, right? And I could outsource it from the get-go, but I want to learn a little bit about the people, right? So somebody gets on the phone, like I'll be like, hi, it's John from this business. And I'll ask him, how are you going today? You know, how's your day been? Have a bit of a chat to them. And then, you know, how can I help you? What can I help you with? Sort of thing.
So your website deals with a specific type of Australian. Is that how you say it? Or do you speak, I know what you call them, bogans at the event? Like you speak to a very interesting Australian and you said they talk funny. Do you, when you answer the phone, do you talk like them? Do you, knowing your avatar, do you speak like them? Do you connect with them on that level?
Yeah, absolutely. And I shared a story, I think at the live event where, you know, for this business, I had to record a voicemail. And for some people who are listening, you know, they've got a full-time job. They're starting their dropshipping business on the side. There are going to be circumstances where you cannot answer the phone because you're at work. And your business, your work, like, I mean, if you're a forklift driver, you're not just going to stop in the middle of a Walmart distribution center to take a call, right? Mm. So you're going to have a voicemail. And you're going to send people to that voicemail. And, I mean, you need one anyway because you don't always get every phone call anyway. But that's okay in the beginning. I just want to... If somebody's sitting here and going, oh, John, you're saying answer every call, but I physically can't, send them to a voicemail and then call them back as soon as you can. I think that's what's important. And when you get to a stage where you can answer every call first time or you can outsource it, then that's fantastic. But yeah, I was coming to record a voicemail for this business just because you got to have one. You know, I thought this is an opportunity to connect with a customer. Like it's even though it's just a 10-second message or a 15-second message, it's still a touch point with your business, right?
Opportunity, you know, to delight.
It's an opportunity to delight. And we were just recording another episode where we mentioned this, something Liana Patch, your business partner, talks about. And every little tiny thing is an opportunity. So I thought, okay, great, voicemail. I mean, this is super easy, right? I can just do something a little bit different here. I could get on and go, hi, you've called Backyard Bloke. Just leave us a message and we'll, like that. Like I could just do like something really standard. So I really got into it and put on my full blood bogan Australian accent. I was like, g'day, mate. Thanks for calling Backyard Bloke. We're busy right now, but, you know, leave us a message and I'll give you a bell back shortly.
A bell back.
You know? So I used sort of, that's not exactly what the message is. I'd have to go back and listen to it. But I used a lot of the slang and colloquialisms that middle-aged men in Australia, you know, are likely to use. And I didn't ham up the accent a little bit. That's not generally what I sound like in the day-to-day. But I literally have had voicemails where the person is laughing. Like the start of the message is just that person laughing and they're like, great message, man. Okay, this is what I need, you know. And to me, like immediately, that person's going to remember my business. Do you know what I mean?
To be fair, for anyone who's watching this, this is John's stage voice, and that's actually what he sounds like on a day-to-day basis. Look, no one exemplifies the pick up your phone to me like my friend TJ. So at our event, we had some companies donate some things. We've shouted them out on the podcast. Yep. Another one is BubsNaturals.com. So TJ and his partner Lake started Bubs Naturals, excuse me, as an homage to Glenn Bubs Doherty. You can find his foundation at glendohertyfoundation.org. We made a donation there from Dropship Breakthrough to that as well. Really cool mission there. Really cool how much they donate off the top, literally not from their profit, from the revenue. But they donated some MCT oil powder, some coffee, and collagen protein, which I put in my coffee every single day. Once again, we burned through that at the event. I think I have a couple boxes sitting at home. We had a little bit of a shipping snafu there. And so nice. If you're listening to this and you were at the event and you loved it, hit me up. I'll send you some from my house. But TJ exemplifies this. If you go to bubsnaturals.com, and I believe it's in their footer. I don't know. It is in their footer. Their website update while we were doing this recording. So in the footer, that's TJ's phone number. Like right behind, just above my face there, I believe. Or just below my face there, producer guy. That's TJ's cell phone number. Like he answers the phone when you call. And these guys are a big business. They've been around a long time. So the fact that you can call and talk directly to the owner, that exemplifies this for me. He is the epitome of customer service. I've very rarely ever had an issue with them. And if I do, I let him know so that he can update his flows or whatever I spot, you know, just helping another business owner out. And he'll immediately, like one time I said, hey, there was something with one of the products, just wanted to let you know, maybe other products were affected. He sent me a case, like a case of collagen protein, something that's going to last me like 6 months. And I was like, dude, you didn't have to do that, right? But like his phone number's on here. I would encourage you, maybe don't put your cell phone number on your site. You can easily get a phone number with Grasshopper, dropshipbreakthrough.com/Grasshopper. That's what I recommend. There's plenty of other services. I think Google Voice is pretty good nowadays. Mm-hmm. I think there's other services, but you know, make your phone number prominent, like give customer service, be there for them when your customer calls. I think that's something that sets you apart in this dropshipping model is you can provide more information. If your same customer goes to Amazon and wants to ask questions, there's no one there to call. There's no one there who can give them this customer service. And so this is truly an edge in high ticket dropshipping.
Yeah, it is. I mean, once again, and this is kind of where this intersects with your marketing a bit, I think, right? You know, in your marketing, part of your marketing job is to find ways to make your business stand out from the other businesses that you're competing with. And this is definitely probably, once again, not where people's mind first goes to. They probably think about, oh, can I do something around free shipping or returns or pricing or something like that? But this can be like, I think, particularly when you're selling higher ticket products, right? So there's, on some levels, the customer is feeling like they've got to put more trust in your business because they're not going to get in and touch and feel the product and all of that sort of thing. But they can have touch points with you, the business. And it is a massive opportunity here, I think, to really stand out. Like there are businesses that still do not answer the phone, which blows my mind. But I have literally had, and I've heard our students have said this as well, like customers who have called up and said, I'm placing an order with you because you answered the phone. Like, I mean, and that's like now 2023 sort of time, which is wild. And so it's not just answering your phone's the basic, but like anything you can do to go like look at what your competitors are doing on customer service. And if you can think of ways that you can provide additional service or just even connect with your customers better than your competitors are, one, it's going to make you stand out and have that unique feel, which can be difficult to find when you're dropshipping because, once again, they're not your products, right? But anything you can do to provide a unique feel like I'm doing with that voicemail, tiny thing, but, you know, a lot of people end up going through to voicemail sometimes, just makes you jump out, and it also increases trust with the customer. Like if your customer's like comes away from interactions with you feeling like, yes, this person cares about something or cares about me or, you know, is just doing more than the other people I might be interacting with, it builds trust. Once again, when we talk about building trust, people automatically go to, oh, I need heaps of reviews or whatever. Literally, you can build trust with zero reviews. And this is in the beginning. Like it's really hard to have reviews on your business when you first launch it, right? But this is your opportunity. If you can get people on the phone and have a person-to-person interaction with them, reviews and all of that stuff, I won't say doesn't matter, but it matters a whole lot less. Reviews are important when people can't talk to you.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So they can hear other people talking about you. But a lot of people do rely on the fact that if they call somebody up and they have a good feeling, like that gut feeling you get when you interact with people like that, it's subconscious almost, I think, but it's massive.
You're going to learn a ton too. Like that's my favorite place to just understand the problems of the customer. Certainly, you'll run into some people that maybe aren't super enjoyable to have a conversation with on the phone.
Yeah.
But you're going to learn a lot. You're going to learn their pain points. And it's kind of like when you're thinking about starting a business. You might be listening to this podcast thinking about starting a business, and you're going to learn a lot from this podcast. You're going to learn a lot from our YouTube videos. But you know where you're going to learn more? From doing. And so the same thing happens in customer service. You're going to learn a lot from reading reviews and hanging out in places where they hang out online, but you're going to learn a whole lot more simply interacting with your customer. John, I know, you know, maybe you can quickly zip through this. You have questions that you just ask people who call to learn more. Can you touch on that a little bit? Just like that's above and beyond customer service.
Yeah. So when somebody calls up or even when they're on the online chat or emailing, you can do this to a lesser extent. It's makes more sense on the phone. But you know, like I said, I mean, the best person for you to learn from about what you should be doing in your niche or your market on your website is from your customer, right? Like once again, you can listen to me and Ben talk about like what we talk about, which is probably more you know, best practice things that we say you should do. But ultimately, at the end of the day, every niche is a bit different, right? Your ideal customer is different to my ideal customer, to that guy's ideal customer, to your ideal customer. And so your customer is kind of like your ultimate source of truth in terms of what you should be doing, what's missing from your website. And so when people call you up, yeah, you should talk to them, you know, build a bit of a relationship first. You should serve them with what they feel they need right then and there first, right? But once you've done that, you've got an opportunity to learn something from them about your niche, about your website, about your business, about your competition. There's a range of things. And so I like to have a list of questions ready, which either for myself or for my, if I've got a customer service team, you know, like if I've outsourced that, I give it to them and say, you've got to ask at least one question every time you interact with somebody, like in return, about that's going to help you learn about what you should be doing and record the answers, like in a spreadsheet or something like that. Now, you get some people who don't engage with that. And that's okay. Yeah, doesn't matter. But a lot of people will. And so you can ask them questions like, is there any reason you wouldn't purchase this product today? Are you looking at this product on any other websites? You know, so you want to learn about which of your competition are the real competition and what you need to pay attention to. That's going to tell you. If you ask that question 10 times and you get the same answer 10 times, you better be going and looking at that website and seeing what they're doing to attract customers, because that's what you need to be, right? You know, and asking that question, you're looking at this on any other websites. Oh yeah, I'm looking at it here. Okay, is there anything in particular you like about that website? You know, like you can learn a lot, and this can lead to a whole series of follow up questions if that person is engaged the first time. You can ask them about, do you feel like there's anything missing from our website? Is there something you'd love to know about this product that you just couldn't find on the page? Because they might have it on the screen in front of them while they're talking to you, right? You can ask them, is there a question? Do you have any questions that weren't answered there? You know, because once again, without that sort of feedback, you really are falling into the realms of having to assume what's going wrong or what's not working, what is working, what's not working, what you could add, what you could take away. You can do split testing and talk about all this stuff when it comes to conversion rate optimization, but you want to shortcut that whole process. You can get feedback from your customers. You don't have to test anything, right? Because they've told you what they need, so you can just go straight to it.
And I'll throw one more point on the end here of, I think I've seen this training my own employee that people don't close enough. So you can give all the great customer service and you can answer all their questions and you can even get feedback. But I've often seen there, like whatever they say, let me talk to the wife or let me think about it. I'll get back to you or I'll place the order online later today. And I was an example of this early on too. I would just be like, okay, sounds great. And hang up the phone, right? Rather than, well, we can take care of that order right now over the phone. I usually just go right to the point. Just like, okay, go ahead and read off those credit card numbers and we'll get this taken care of, right? And push them right to the end of this. It is your duty to help take them where they want to go. And if your product takes them where they're trying to go, if you can see that this solves their problem, then it is your duty to solve their problem. It's not being pushy. It's not being overly aggressive. It's doing what your business is out there to do, which is serve the customer.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah. And then I think that, you know, probably the last thing I'd say, like, I mean, if you're somebody, not everybody's great at customer service, right? And not everybody can do it. I mean, you might be running your high ticket dropshipping business as just an additional source of income. Like you don't even have a plan to quit your job. You might love your job, or you might have another business that you're more involved with. And once again, this is just kind of like a sideline opportunity for you. And so you can outsource it, like, and that's okay. And I would do that sooner rather than later. The idea here is not that you as the business owner end up answering the phone for 6 hours a day. Because if you get stuck in that trap, then you're not going to be doing anything else. So like all the other stuff we talk about, do your SEO, do this, do that, and the other thing, all the marketing stuff, building relationships with your suppliers. I mean, that stuff is going to fall away a bit. And customer service being unpredictable, it is something you have to get off your plate sooner or later. I think it's great to do it in the beginning because you're going to learn a whole lot personally. But I mean, there are fantastic people out there who are very, you know, super empathetic people who are just great at interacting with other humans, and you might not be that person. And I'll be honest, I'm not that person. So I actually found with my first business, when I outsourced customer service, I made more sales just because at times I can be a bit impatient with people, particularly if I don't like what they're saying, right? I can be very blunt. It can be very short. And so, you know, early on with my first business, when I outsourced my phone customer service, like we got better results because I hired somebody who was just had a lot of patience, had a lot of time, and possibly even fit better with my ideal customer. You know, so my ideal customer in that business was mostly female, and I hired a female customer service person. You know what I mean? And they might have just come across better than me.
Yeah, and Blair mentioned that at our live event, that when he's selling the decks and anyone calls in, specifically females who are like thinking through how they wanted to design their deck, they didn't want someone to mansplain to them what they needed on their deck. And so when he hired women, sales went through the roof, right? One place that I've heard a lot of people hire through, I've yet to use this myself, but hiremymom.com. So I believe it's like stay-at-home moms who are looking for side gigs. This could be a real opportunity for you to find something in your country, if that's what you're looking for, at a reduced rate. There is another website, and I don't have it pulled up here, but there's another one for military wives who are stay-at-home as well. Yep. And so if you're looking to hire someone in your country, which I know you and I have differing opinions, and mostly because I don't have experience hiring out of the country for this role, but I like to hire local. I like to have my hands on things. And so if you can hire somebody in your country that you can work with on a daily basis, it's not like the person you're going to hire is going to know what they're doing out of the gates. They're just not, right? They're going to do a decent job. They probably have customer service experience, but they don't know your products. They don't know your person. And so it's going to take a little while to train them up. And I like to be close with that personally. What you're in Australia, and so the Philippines are right near you. It's kind of normal. Yeah. What's your experience there? Do you have any tips on hiring somebody and how you can train them best?
Yeah, absolutely. And for starters, as you just said, you have to go in with the expectation that they don't know everything that relates to your business and your product straight away. That's normal. You're not going to hire somebody if you sell 3D printers. You're not going to find a customer service person who has experience selling or doing customer service for 3D printers. That would be exceptionally rare to find, right? So you can't go into it with that expectation. There is going to be a period of time where they have to learn your business, like the specifics of your products and all of that sort of thing, just like you did. Remember when you started your business, you didn't know about that stuff either. And that's normal and that's okay. When you're hiring somebody, you are 100%, if possible, looking for that they have prior customer service experience. And so something I like about hiring people in the Philippines, I mean, they're very close to my time zone in Australia, so that works well. But, you know, the big companies outsource all of their customer service to that place, and like telcos and all of these sort of companies who regularly deal with really angry customers. So it's not hard to find somebody there who's got 10 years of experience in that sort of setting and dealing with difficult customers, right? And being able to do so without, exacerbating the situation, which for me, sometimes if I get an angry person who calls in and I think they're being stupid, I'll end up telling them that, and that doesn't go anywhere good, right? So you look for that if you can, but primarily when it comes to customer service, I find I don't really care about what they know. I care about who they are, right? What feeling do you get talking to them on the phone? And this is the one role now where I actually do like live interviews. Like I actually do a lot of interviews by text these days. Maybe that's something for a different episode, but I always get these people on a video call or if possible, or on a phone call, and just talk to them about stuff. Like talk to them about, you know, what they do, what they enjoy with. And I'm really looking just for how do they communicate with people. Do they feel like the person who's able to practice and display empathy and all of that sort of thing? And that's the biggest thing, right? I think if you've got that ability to just be relatable and enter into a conversation with somebody easily, and you're going to be good at customer service, at particularly phone-based customer service. Whereas if you're somebody who's a little bit awkward and a little bit reserved and all of that sort of thing, I think it's going to be something you struggle with.
I think I struggled with it in the beginning, but all it is common sense. If you can just pick up the phone, be nice to people, treat people how you want to be treated, I think that's it. That's the whole shebang. Also, just pick up your phone.
Yeah. Yeah. So simple, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, wrapping this up, but answer your phone, know your customer, ask them questions, follow up again, reach back out to these people, ask, you know, if you didn't get the sale on the first call, I hope you're calling again. And if you can, outsource it. I probably didn't do that early enough, if I'm honest with you. But when we did, when we hired somebody who could do this all day long and not miss a phone call, sales went through the roof.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.